Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. Alexis Carterone is a senior staff attorney at the New York Civil Liberties Union, where she focuses on civil rights, civil liberties, and reproductive rights impact litigation. Ms. Carterone, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks very much for having me.
The NYCLU has taken a leading role in analyzing and opposing the stop and frisk policy of the NYPD. And I think that first part is really important because this isn't just some kind of knee-jerk anti-law enforcement initiative. So I'd like for you to talk about the numbers that you compiled regarding how stop and frisk has been implemented in New York City in recent years.
You're quite right that this has not been a knee-jerk reaction. Everyone's in favor of law enforcement that's well done. And we've been really concerned that the NYPD has been violating people's rights without actually making a significant difference in our safety. So what we found is that the number of stop and frisks in New York City has increased by hundreds of thousands from the beginning of the Bloomberg administration to recent years. And it's been very clear that that's been happening without any clear evidence that it's making anyone safer. And instead, the NYPD has been violating many people's rights along the way. And that's why we've been very concerned about the stop and frisk policy.
How do you see these kinds of policies impacting individual members of the minority communities that bear the brunt of stop and frisk?
Well, the impact is really remarkable. We find that people who are subject to stop and frisk frequently don't trust the police. They don't want to work with the police. They don't even want to call the police when they're actually crime victims. And obviously that has a really detrimental effect on the police work that officers in the NYPD are able to do, and also is really bad for maintaining safety in our communities. So the erosion of trust is a huge problem. And, you know, it makes people, not only aside from the trust, it makes people not want to leave their homes. It makes people feel afraid to go about their daily business because if they walk down the street, they know it's possible that they're going to be stopped. And nobody should have to live like that.
Ms. Carterone, I know there are a lot of people are aware of Judge Shindlin's ruling earlier this month regarding the constitutionality of stop and frisk as currently practiced in New York City, and the angry response from Mayor Bloomberg and Police Chief Kelly. What's next in this case as you see it?
Well, there are a couple of things that are coming down the pike. First, with the cases that are pending before Judge Shindlin, she has appointed a monitor to oversee the implementation of reforms that will get the NYPD to stop the abuses and stop and frisk. So we're excited about moving forward and working with the monitor on implementing those remedies. Part of what he's also going to be doing is convening community forums so that the communities that are most affected by the problems with stop and frisk are able to have a voice in figuring out exactly what those reforms should be. The other thing that's next is implementation of the Community Safety Act. The City Council overrode Mayor Bloomberg's veto of two provisions that are really important for improving oversight of the NYPD. One creates an inspector general, which just about every other department in New York City has. So it's an independent inspector general who is able to make recommendations, review policies, and make recommendations for how to improve practices that are affecting many people across the city. And the other thing is that the council overrode Mayor Bloomberg's veto of a new ban on profiling in the city of New York, which is great news because it not only makes racial profiling illegal, it also creates other kinds of protections for certain groups, such as the LGBT community, homeless people, and a variety of groups, and gives that ban some teeth. So now groups will be able to go to court and secure relief against the NYPD if they're violating their rights in a systematic way. So we're really excited about these paths forward.
There are other jurisdictions where this practice is continuing. We've also just heard that Detroit is planning to implement stop and frisk, for example. So what are the big picture options for preventing racial profiling in police work?
That's a really good question. The NYCLU has never called for an end to the use of stop and frisk. everyone thinks that stop and frisk is appropriate when the police actually have reasonable suspicion that somebody has or is about to engage in criminal activity. So we're not calling for the end of it. What we're calling for is the end of stopping people who have done nothing wrong. We're calling for the end of profiling. And I think it's really clear that there are a lot of police departments around the country that have done a lot of really good work. They've had drops in crime that are similar to New York's, and they've been able to do it without using stop and frisk in an abusive way. So we think that there are lots of models of places that are trying innovative things that doesn't require stop and frisk abuses.
I want to ask one last question about the stop and frisk app that the New York Civil Liberties Union is promoting. Would you talk about that and why that app is so very important?
Oh, we are really excited about our app, and there's been tremendous hunger for it, I think, in the community, because people really want to find a way to hold police officers accountable when they violate their rights. The app, people can download it on their iPhones or their Android phones, and basically what happens is it, when you turn it on, it starts recording your encounter with the police, and then it sends the video straight to us. So it's been important for people to feel empowered, like they can do something if they feel like they're being disrespected or their rights are being violated. And it's just incredibly powerful for people to kind of take some control back in those situations.
Alexis Calderon is a senior staff attorney at the New York Civil Liberties Union, where she focuses on civil rights, civil liberties, and reproductive rights impact litigation. The organization was instrumental in gathering in-depth statistics on the implementation of the stop and frisk policy in New York City, and it brought one of the two lawsuits that led to Judge Shira Shindlin's finding on the practice being unconstitutional. Ms. Calderon, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.